And a good Thursday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 in your favorite podcast app. Just search for the Nick Craig Show wherever you get your podcasts, and you can take the show with you. Listen on demand. You can also view the show online by visiting the website, nickcraig.com. We've got a jam-packed Thursday morning show for you this morning. However, we do start this morning in the United States Court of Appeals, where they have decided to block the Trump administration's attempts to deport Venezuelan nationals out of the country. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Court of Appeals for the D.C. District denied President Donald Trump's requests to halt a lower court decision that has temporarily blocked his proclamation applying to the Alien Enemies Act to support deportations of suspected members of Venezuelan street gangs. Judge Karen Henderson and Patricia Millett opposed the administration's request, while Judge Justin Walker dissented in their viewpoint, their opinion of moving forward with it. In a concurrence, Henderson said that, quote, the executive's burdens are comparatively modest compared to the plaintiffs. Lifting the injunction risks expelling plaintiffs to a land that is not the country of their origin. Millett, meanwhile, praised the district's court handling of the case and said, quote, there is neither jurisdiction nor reason for this court to interfere at this very preliminary stage or to allow the government to single-handedly moot the plaintiff's claims by immediately removing them beyond the reach of their lawyers or courts. Walker dissented, stating, quote, the government has shown that the district court orders threaten irreparable harm to decline negotiations with foreign powers on the matters of concealing national security. So, ladies and gentlemen, here it is. This has been the big discussion now for the last 2 weeks. You have unelected, out-of-control judges in the district court system that are issuing temporary stays on the administration, on the executive branch, and their authority to operate. That's what's going on right now. That's what we've seen going on. And we heard, we've got the very weak response from John Roberts last week. Just, hey, follow the process. Hey, man, just go through with the process. Everything will just work out in your favor. Well, there is no process. Right? That's inherently the issue here. There is no process when an unelected judge that is hyper-partisan decides to put their thumb on the scales of justice. Right? There has not been a trial yet. There has not been a decision by the district court that one side is right and the other is wrong. That's not yet happened. The only thing that's happened as of now is a temporary stay has been put on the executive branch on their authority to invoke the Alien Enemies Act and remove individuals from the country. Right? And we're not talking about individuals who are here on a travel visa. We're talking about dangerous members of Venezuelan street gangs that have conducted themselves in ways not only in the United States, but in their home country, murders, rapes, burglaries. I mean, this is the caliber, the class of individual that we're talking about. We're not talking about people here overstaying their travel visa. We're not talking about students. We're talking about dangerous street gang members that are roaming cities and towns across the United States of America doing whatever the hell they damn well please because there's no repercussions for their actions. They're allowed to do whatever they want, whenever they want, and nobody's allowed to say anything about it. The Trump administration, the chief executive in the president, is unable to invoke acts and authorities under his purview to get these individuals out of the country. That's where we stand this morning. And I put out on X yesterday afternoon, with this federal appeals court denying the Trump administration's request, okay, John Roberts, now you're up. You said follow the process. You said you wanted to let this play out. Now it's your choice. It is time for Congress, because obviously Chief Justice John Roberts is not going to do anything. It is absolutely time for Congress to put the power that they have invested in them, to put it onto these judges and get them out of the loop. Get these judges operating in a manner that is by the book. You want to claim that the Trump administration is doing something that is unconstitutional? Sure, that needs to be blocked in court. But I'm very confused as to how anything within an act that was passed by Congress, the Alien and Enemies Act, was in fact passed by Congress and is allowed to be invoked by the president. I am refusing to understand and have yet to have anybody explain to me how a district court judge has the ability to block that. I am confused as to what sort of authority, what sort of constitutional basis a judge is using to justify their actions to block the executive authority there of the president. Until somebody can make that argument to me, I don't have any other way. I don't have anything else to believe. There's nothing else that I can understand except for these judges are acting out of their purview. These judges are acting out of their authority. Now, if a district court judge wants to point out in the Constitution where what the president is doing is not authorized or he doesn't have the power to do so, well, then it's a completely different ballgame. But that's not what's happened. No district court judge has blocked this specific authority. Again, this is not an executive order. This is using the Alien Enemies Act, which has been enshrined in U.S. law for 200 years. The president is using the authority that he already has. So again, just because you don't like what the president's doing, just because you think it's bad or you're morally against it, that is not a good enough reason. That is not a justifiable reason to block the executive action of the president. This is a freaking disaster that we're dealing with right now. John Roberts is refusing to deal with this problem, and I suspect Congress is going to step in very, very quickly on this. And this is only one of many cases against the executive branch, against Trump, that have already made their way to the district court level. And so now it's time for Congress to step in because the Supreme Court, I guess, is just unwilling to do so. I don't think that's going to be a great outcome for the left, for the individuals that are taking the administration, taking the president to court because they disagree with what he's doing, because they don't like the way that in which he's operating, because they are politically not associated or aligned with the actions of the president and of the American people, I'll note, is not a good enough justification. It is time for these district court judges to be hauled in front of Congress and for them to explain not only to Congress, but to the American people how they are operating in the way that they are. Where are they gaining their constitutional authority to operate in this manner? That's the only step that's left. So a big blow for the administration, but I can promise you this is not the last step of this in any way. So that's one of our big stories this morning that we are tracking here on the Nick Craig Show. You can be part of the show this morning by texting in 910-377-6425. That's 910-377-6425. If you've got comments throughout the show, include your name and where you are texting from, and we'll throw your comments up here as we continue with the show this morning. Well, there has been big controversy brewing in New Hanover County over the last couple of days around AI. Yes, artificial intelligence. And before we get into details of our story this morning, I think it's important to step away for a second and talk a little bit about AI. Artificial intelligence and what we are seeing with AI. And there's kind of two different things going on here. You've got actual artificial intelligence, and then you've got things that are just marketed as AI. There is a huge difference in that. Like we saw back a couple of years ago, cryptocurrency and blockchain. You remember there was a period of time where every company was doing a blockchain this, a blockchain that. This is like 3 or 4 years ago. It's very similar now with AI. every company is throwing AI into their marketing materials, the services that they offer. Some of it is actually AI. Some of it is not. It's very rudimentary machine learning, which I don't think rises to the level of actual AI. There is a huge difference between some sort of basic machine learning and actual artificial intelligence, which is obviously what AI stands for. And rightfully so, there's some serious concerns with AI. Not only, you know, some sort of Terminator Skynet sort of situation breaking out, but there's big concerns about privacy. And so over the last couple of weeks, there's been some controversy brewing in the New Hanover County school system over artificial intelligence. The county had the opportunity to receive about a little over $3 million grant from the state government for a pilot program to test a camera system that used artificial intelligence. It was an AI security pilot program that was brought forth by the North Carolina General Assembly, passed as part of their budget last year, and two different school districts, Davidson County Schools and New Hanover County Schools, were tested as were deemed and chosen to test this program. Again, a pilot program. Now, the reality of a pilot program is, well, it's exactly that, a pilot. It is tested on a smaller scale, and if it is successful, if there is good feedback, if the system, the service, whatever is being tested, if that works well, well, then there's a likelihood that that pilot program turns into a full-blown program. No different than a pilot TV show. You run the first episode. If people like it and if it polls well and if individuals are enjoying it, you then go on to produce the rest of the show. That's what a pilot is. And out of the General Assembly, when you see pilot programs, many times those pilot programs end up becoming mandates from state government. And so I believe, as we continue with the story this morning, that something like this could very much be required by the North Carolina General Assembly going forward. So there is a tech company called Evident that is a tech firm, which was chosen by the General Assembly to produce this pilot program. Now, going to their website and doing a little bit of research on this company and what they provide, one of the big things that they do is artificial intelligence in regards to camera systems. Using AI to scan and use cameras to determine threats, to look at activity when you're talking about doors opening and closing. Traditional, very simple, basic security things, right? Door sensors exist in school systems and in private business all over the place. You may have one in your house, a door or window sensor. This system, from what I understand, compiles all of these systems together and starts learning. You know, starts acting as some sort of artificial intelligence to provide insight to individuals within the school system, whether that be the superintendent or the principal of a specific school. So this pilot program, again, which was brought forth by the North Carolina General Assembly, Davidson County and New Hanover County were chosen as the pilots, and New Hanover County, in a 4-3 vote, shot down the pilot program, with the big concern being the rise of artificial intelligence, which I'll note, I believe, is a real concern. Which I'll note, there are serious questions about AI. There are very serious questions about data privacy, especially when we're talking about a school system, especially when we're talking about minors, individuals under the age of 18 years old that are within the New Hanover County public school system, or you know, any school system at all. Data privacy and data concerns amongst youth is, I would argue, a bigger conversation than you and I, full-grown adults that have the ability and have the authority to control what we do with our data and what we do with our privacy. So there's some very real and serious concerns about AI and about data privacy. But for whatever reason, the discussion about this company transformed into a very, very interesting political battle back and forth. So the 4-3 vote included Tim Merrick and Judy Justice, two radical progressive Democrats, and the board chair, Melissa Mason, and David Perry. Those were the four individuals that voted against moving forward with this pilot program out of the GA. Josie Barnhart, Pete Wildebor, and Pat Bradford were the three individuals that voted in favor of this moving forward. The superintendent, Dr. Chris Barnes, had arranged a meeting between board members and district principals. This was back a couple of weeks ago. Those individuals largely supported the program, with the superintendent noting that currently there is not enough staff to monitor all of the district's security cameras and security systems, which are in most cases only useful as a forensic tool after the fact. So the school system's got cameras, and we'll talk about that coming up here in a minute. The school system has cameras. They, of course, monitor what goes on in the school system. But there's not enough manpower, there's not enough resources for somebody to sit there all day, every day, and just stare at cameras. I mean, there's hundreds of cameras within the school system throughout all of the different schools. You're not paying somebody full-time to sit there and just stare at cameras. Part of the technology, as I understand it from this tech firm, was to compile all of that data, take all of that together, and do things like early threat protection to monitor camera systems and identify objects. Maybe there's a student with a knife walking through the hallways. From what I understand it, this system would notify the principals, notify the individuals within the school system and say, hey, there's a potential security threat taking place right now. There's been a door that's been open for the last 45 minutes, things of that nature. There was some discussion about facial recognition technology being used. That was brought forth during this discussion, and an amendment was made by, there was an amendment made and there was discussion that we are not going to be implementing that technology. We do not want to use facial recognition within the school system, which I think makes a lot of sense because the serious and legitimate privacy concerns are real. And when you use facial recognition technology, that information has to be stored. There's a database that includes faces and identifiable things about them. That's how facial recognition works. Right? You may use an iPhone or an Android device. You hold your phone up to your face and it unlocks. That's facial recognition. On your phone, it is storing characteristics about your face so that it can automatically unlock without you having to use a thumbprint or put in a PIN code. So not exactly the same technology, but similar technology in this system, which is a serious concern. So that was not going to be part of this. It was going to be some of the, as I understand it, some of the early threat protection, scanning these cameras, identifying objects that could be harmful or dangerous, a gun, a knife, some sort of weapon within the school system. And for whatever reason, the school board decided to vote it down, with the chair of the school board, Melissa Mason, saying that while she had initially been enthusiastic about the program, she started developing concerns, specifically concerns that Evident had has resisted a third-party audit to explore data security and other potential issues as part of their contract with the Davidson County School System, which is a couple months ahead of New Hanover. And I agree with her on that. If you've got a company that is going to be bringing technology into your school using some form of artificial intelligence for early threat detection, and they're not willing to go through an audit, that's a very real and very serious concern. Those claims are very duly noted, and I believe it's a reason to vote against this. She claimed it was that they were giving pushback, and it was a massive red flag for her. Very real, very justifiable. However, it turns out that's just not the case. The vice president of data ops and supports for Evident had followed up with the school board saying, quote, I believe there is a lot of misinformation circulating and I'm not sure where it's coming from. We have never declined the audit. In fact, we are actively working to finalize it with Davidson County. I'd love to bring you up to speed on its status and clarify the actual holdup. We have always been completely transparent about our efforts and will continue to do so with the technology that we are implementing. So as it stands right now, Evident is going through a third-party risk assessment with Davidson County Schools. Right? They are currently in the process of going through this risk assessment, which I think makes a lot of sense. If you're going to be introducing this technology into the school, it's justifiable that you want to make sure that this party can withstand an audit. Look at third-party risk detection or risk assessment. Try to penetrate the system and see what the result is. Very real. So Melissa Mason, who said her real concern was the audit, was asked by Ben Schottman of WHQR, hey, this new information from the Davidson superintendent and from the company is now come to light. They are going through a risk assessment. They are going through an audit. She then changed her tune and said, no, I had other concerns with the company. So it was never about the audit. That was just an attempt to gaslight her fellow board members as her justification for voting against it. You can't say that something is raising major red flags. It's one of the main reasons you're voting against something. You are then called that maybe that information is 100% accurate, and you go, well, no, there's other concerns. So then what are the other concerns? If you're going to vote against something, if you're going to turn away over $3 million from the state government for a pilot program dealing with security in schools, which I presume the entire New Hanover County Board of Education supports, I don't think I'm stepping out on a limb and to proclaim that they want schools to be safe and secure. If that's not the concern, then what is? Right? This, to me, doesn't add up. You can't say the fact that they don't want to go through an audit is a red flag and I'm not voting for it because of that. And then when you find out that information's not true, go, well, no, I still have other concerns. What are those other concerns? That to me just doesn't seem to make any sense. So the big crunch here is AI. There's been social media posts flying out all over the place. We don't want AI in our schools. We don't want artificial intelligence in our school system. We don't trust AI. Which, by the way, is a fair opinion to have. Again, the concerns about AI are real. But it turns out there's already AI in the school system. There's already AI technology being used with the current camera system that the school system has. So I'd like to bring you back to 2023, specifically the date being April the 4th of 2023, 2 years ago, 2 years ago next week. In the 2014 school bond, which was passed here locally, it provided funding for security cameras at all facilities. The existing security cameras are aging and needs replacing. The district has identified a new system that will better meet our needs and is more affordable. The system, which is provided by Verkada, V-E-R-K-A-D-A, Verkada Solutions, is an advanced solution that is secure, easy to manage, accessible, and scalable, with proactive security alerts and abilities to quickly share live footage with law enforcement. This was a $788,000 contract that the school system got into back in 2023. So I started doing some research on this company, Verkada. And you went to their website, verkada.com. And this is their video security for modern enterprise. And what does it say right below that? Leader in cloud-based video security. What does that mean? Well, cloud-based security means that the data is being shipped off-site. Cloud-based security means that the data is not being stored on a local server within the school system. It is being sent off-site. So for individuals like David Perry, who were so concerned and continue to be so concerned about data being sent off-site, which I agree with, you don't want that data being sent off-site where it can then be compromised by third parties, and then you've leaked hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of school system video surveillance footage. Your current camera system does that. I'm just reading directly from their website. So back to their site. Leader in cloud-based video security. Okay, great. Let's scroll down and look at some of the features of this hassle-free system. Key features of this system. AI search and analytics. Let's read through it. Verkada's AI-powered search in Command gives users the ability to search and create real-time alerts for nearly limitless numbers of attributes of people and vehicles across their organization. With AI-powered search, users can leverage their own words in a free-form search bar or upload photos to search for a person or vehicle of interest and conduct highly granular investigations in seconds. Huh. So it would appear to me that the current camera system that the school system spent $788,000 on already includes artificial intelligence. So as Republicans are running around this morning beating their chests about a big conservative win, voting with two Democrats to blow out this pilot program, with the concerns over artificial intelligence, the concerns over AI, maybe you guys need to do your job a little bit better. Maybe you guys need to look into the current systems that already exist within the school system. If you're so concerned about AI, which is what we've heard from individuals like David Perry, his concern for AI, his concern for artificial intelligence and the results of using AI, well, then I guess it's time for the school system to strip out their current camera system. I mean, you can't be concerned about AI and then have the same system or a similar system being used within the school district right now. I mean, that's just nuts. It just doesn't seem to make any sense. Again, if the concern is truly AI. There's been back and forth about the school AI safety program. I've got an article this morning over from the Wilmington Conservative, which spoke to board members and had their thoughts on this. Who you know, David Perry wrote an op-ed about this, you know, talked about, you know, the minority report and things of all that nature, talked about AI, talked about the functional capabilities. And he says, perhaps to avert the public's fear about their children being tracked constantly by the AI system, Evident has proposed that they will be not implementing the facial recognition capability of their system. While the system has the capability of creating a photographic, biometric, and historical record of every student, staff, and citizen that enters school property, we are being assured that this feature will remain off. I have asked how intruder detection would work if the system didn't know who is supposed to be in certain parts of the school system, if the system didn't know who staff and students are, and claimed that he did not get a satisfactory answer. Threatening object detection is supposed to identify guns, knives, and other weapons. However, it should be noted that the system can only identify brandished weapons and not weapons concealed in book bags or underneath clothing. One wonders how much protection this limited function provides. Yeah, well, of course, the camera system is not going to be able to identify a gun inside of a backpack. But the second that a gun is pulled, well, the system should immediately note that and report to not only the authorities, but to the local school system. So within this, David Perry continues by saying, finally, their VYZE AI system was originally designed as a cloud product. Due to recent data breaches and the growing ability of quantum computers being able to hack into cloud systems, the decision was made to install local AI servers at each school. Presumably, these systems would be disconnected from the public internet. However, it is natural to ask how this AI system is supposed to learn if it's disconnected from all other AI systems within the school district. How is it supposed to get updates? Evident has provided an option to create a district-wide confederation server that would presumably reside at the central New Hanover County office and link all of the individual schools together. However, this would cost the district additional money, and not only to Evident, but all for the point-to-point communication wiring we would need for secure communications between the federated servers and all the satellite servers. So the concern is cloud computing and data privacy. Yet the current camera system that has been installed in the school system since 2023 uses literally almost the exact same technology. And here's just one of the purchase orders from the school system. you can see here, they purchased 14 indoor dome cameras, 4 outdoor dome cameras, and 34 outdoor fisheye cameras. And this is just one. There's a whole bunch of invoices all totaling up to $780,000. So these systems already exist within the school system. And so if AI already exists and we are afraid of AI, which is, I'm being told, is a shooting down this pilot was a big conservative win. Conservatives are pounding their chest on social media over shutting down this program. Then I guess we need to go and strip out this camera system from the school. The school system needs to come up with an extra $1 million to replace these current cameras with something else. Now, I don't know anything about any of these two companies. I know about them in research. I've never worked with any of them. I've never used any of their services or software. I've done research on what they provide. I've looked into the information that they have available. So not an attempt to slander either of these two companies, but if the concern locally, and I was told yesterday that constituents were outraged over AI being installed in the school system for cameras. If that's what the constituents truly think, then the current camera system, which is made by Verkada or Verkada, whatever, however it's pronounced, that those camera systems, that technology seemingly needs to be shut off today. Right? You can't tell me on one hand that it's a big conservative win to vote with Judy Justice and Tim Merrick on shutting down an AI security pilot program while your current security system uses almost the exact same technology or has the ability to use the exact same technology. So really, at the end of the day, what is it? What was the actual concern with this pilot program? It seems to me it was nothing more than political pressure from fringes of the Republican Party, from individuals that feel the need to gin up hatred, feel the need to gin up animosity and constantly pin Republicans against each other. There is a group of those individuals that exist in our county. They show up every couple of years to the county convention and they lose. They show up at various events and lose over and over and over again. And to me, it seems like this is more of an internal conflict within the Republican Party than this is actually over the merits of an AI security pilot program. Because if you actually look into the current system, if you look into the legitimate concerns that are being raised, they exist right now. They literally currently are operational within the New Hanover County school system. So I hope Melissa Mason and I hope David Perry, who are the strong, as I'm led to believe, the two strong conservatives on the board, I hope that they are working this morning to strip the current camera system out of the school district. If your guys' concern is over AI and security and privacy with AI, then these current systems, these current cameras need to go. I hope that work is being done this morning. The school board has a meeting coming up on Tuesday. I hope this is brought up. If that's the real concern, that's what I've been led to believe is the real concern. Reading op-eds and looking at comments on social media from people that are thrilled that the school system is now out a little under $3.5 million from this pilot program. If you guys are so anti-AI, then you need to be screaming from the rooftops this morning about a current AI system that exists within the school district. All of this information is publicly available. The contract is publicly available on the school system website. Verkada has all of the different information that they provide, that they offer as solutions publicly listed on their website. None of this stuff is hidden. So if we're going to freak out about AI, if we're going to shoot down $3.5 million for security within the school system, I think it's proper, and I think it makes a lot of sense that we look at the entirety of the situation. That we look at other systems that are currently using artificial intelligence before we fearmonger the public and fearmonger individuals into voting against a pilot program. That's just my two cents on it. I'm not on the member of the Board of Education. I have concerns about privacy with AI like many of the school board members do. But it to me just seems incredibly hypocritical to shoot this down while your current system provides similar products. And you're already utilizing some of those similar products. That's just my two cents on it. So I encourage you to reach out to the school board, specifically Melissa Mason and David Perry, and ask them about Verkada. VERKADA, the current camera system that the school system spent $788,000 on and has state-of-the-art AI search and analytics built into it. That absolutely needs to be called out this morning. If we're going to freak out about this, if we're going to have concerns about AI again, which are justified, then we need to go forward and make sure that this is dealt with throughout the entire district. If we're anti-AI, then we need to be consistent in our thoughts. If not, then you're a hypocrite. You're just doing this for a political reason. Now, we know why the Democrats are doing it, right? We know why Judy Justice and Tim Merrick are against it, because this money is coming from the Republican-led General Assembly. This money is coming from State Senator Michael Lee, who is very influential in education funding in Raleigh, has done unbelievable amounts of work for our school district locally and for parents and students all across the state of North Carolina with things like the Opportunity Scholarship Program. So this, we know why there's so much against this. Why Melissa Mason is against it, I have no idea. She claimed it was over a third-party audit. That information was false. She still says she has concerns. So what her thoughts are is anybody's guess this morning. We'll probably never know. David Perry's concerns are over things being stored in the cloud, the cost, and artificial intelligence as a whole, tracking and things of that nature, yet those currently exist in the school district. So I am just a little bit confused as to what the real issue is here. Maybe it's some behind-the-scenes currents and individuals that are trying to gin up and whip up controversy on something that literally already exists. Again, this is the key feature of the primary camera system that the school district already uses. AI search and analytics. Use of a variety of AI-based people and vehicle analytics, from AI-powered search to face search and reverse image search to relevant footage in seconds. So hopefully our strong conservative school board members shot this pilot program down and lost the school system $3.5 million, I hope they're looking into that this morning, because, again, if the concern about AI is real, then this needs to go as well. So look forward to that coming up in the Tuesday school board meeting for the new Hanover County Board of Education. I'll have links to all of this over on my Patreon, patreon.com/Nick Craig, where coming up tonight, we'll be conducting our third monthly hangout for those individuals that support on Patreon, 7 o'clock on Zoom tonight. Check your email. If you're a Patreon member, you'll see the link in there, and you've got up until 7 o'clock tonight to subscribe and get access to that. We'll be chatting politics, culture, and the news of the day. It's coming up tonight, 7 o'clock, patreon.com/Nick Craig. If you'd like to support the show, $5, $10 a month if you believe you are getting some value. We'll grab a quick break on the other side. Well, it was a big day in Washington, D.C. for public media. Both PBS and NPR hauled in front of Congress. I've got some very interesting clips from that coming up. You're listening to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to a Thursday edition of The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. You can text in your comments this morning at 910-377-6425. That's 910-377-6425. Before we head into the NPR and PBS controversy coming in during the break, Steve is texting in Wilmington this morning. He says, Democrats want violence everywhere, so anything to prevent and limit violence is a bad idea. Oh, and this is attack on State Senator Michael Lee. Talking about our previous story with the camera system. Steve, thanks for the comment this morning. It seems to be very accurate. I can't really justify why that would be such a big issue. However, Democrats, they feel the need to continue down the path that they are. So we'll continue to track this, and hopefully we learn more from our school board members that were so against this program. So turning our attention to Washington, D.C. this morning, we learned some details yesterday as the heads of NPR and PBS were hauled in front of Congress to discuss why they should continue to receive federal funds. It's a lot of money. It's like $150 million a year that public media gets from the federal government. And there's been questions raised as to what kind of results are we getting for this amount of money. We've seen the ridiculous bias nature, the ridiculous headlines, the lack of reporting on major issues across our country. And I've got a couple different clips this morning from members of Congress grilling the heads of NPR and PBS over just these topics. We'll start off with Senator Fallon asking questions about the coverage at places like NPR, who is definitely, if we're comparing NPR to PBS, NPR is way further off the deep end in terms of the political spectrum. PBS tries to be a little bit more fair, but their coverage is still very much swayed. It's really NPR that is acting in a manner in which they are not being fair. They are not covering stories objectively. And that's called out right here in this clip. Here's Senator Fallon yesterday afternoon.
Ms. Kerger, in 2023, when PBS had a program, Washington Week with The Atlantic, and when President Biden's mental acuity was questioned, one of the reporters claimed the GOP was lying. Another reporter, Jeffrey Goldberg, who's been in the news of late, described Biden as, quote, mentally acute. Were you aware if there were any dissenting opinions on that program that day?
I don't know from that day. No,
there were not. But fortunately, there was a debate in, I believe, June of 2024, where the American people and the world found out just who was lying. The Democrats, Jeffrey Goldberg, and PBS. Ms. Maher, I'm sure you're aware that Hunter Biden had a laptop.
I am, sir, yes.
Okay. And there were many stories written about said laptop.
Yes, sir.
And in 2020, unfortunately, NPR's managing editor for news refused to cover the story, and he branded it a, quote, waste of time, not a real story, and a distraction. And instead, unfortunately, of NPR investigating, they ran a puff piece that led with, experts say attack on Hunter Biden addiction deepens stigma for millions. It's unfortunate that NPR ignored the Hunter Biden laptop story. But y'all did talk quite a bit about the debunked Russia collusion. Do you know how many times NPR interviewed Adam Schiff about
Congressman, the collusion? I would love to say that we actually believe we made a mistake on the Hunter Biden laptop story.
And I appreciate that. Thank you.
So that's pretty interesting. Now, PBS is, Miss Mayer, the head of NPR. Oh, well, we made a problem on the Hunter Biden. We screwed the pooch on the Hunter Biden story. Well, that's great. But you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Now, sure, accepting responsibility and saying you screwed up on something is great. The question is, has anything changed since then? Has NPR learned from their political bias? They didn't want to cover the Hunter Biden laptop story because it was incredibly damning for President Joe Biden. They didn't want to cover that in the lead up to the 2020 election because it was politically damning for the Democrats. It showed the corruption that existed within the Biden crime family. And so NPR chose, we're just not going to cover this story. We're going to carry water for the Democrats, which we all are at NPR. So we're going to carry water for the Democrat Party. That's what they decided to do. Except, hey, I am all for them saying, hey, we're sorry, we screwed up. The question is, has anything changed since then? I think the answer is pretty handedly, no.
How many times did y'all interview Adam Schiff about the Russia collusion?
I'm sorry, I don't have that number.
It was 25 times. You know how many times NPR interviewed chairman of this committee, oversight committee, Jamie Comer, about the Biden impeachment inquiry, or the Hunter Biden tax evasion and illicit business dealings of the Biden family?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
I believe that's zero, so it's 25 to zero. Ms. Kerger, you're aware there's a political spectrum. It goes all the way from the far right to the far left and everywhere in between. Would it trouble you to hear that for 6 months, there was an analysis done on PBS's NewsHour from June to November of 2023, where they found that far right was, that term was used 162 times, and far left was only used 6 times. Do you find that troubling?
I don't know the study that you're referring to, and I'd be very interested in seeing it and understanding how they came up with those numbers.
Media Research Center did a 6-month analysis.
There's no study. I mean, how they came up with the numbers. The Media Research Center, Brent Buzzell's group, covered and watched and listened to NPR, or in this case, PBS NewsHour. And then they just analyzed how many times a word was used. I mean, there's no study that was done. You just look at what was said. You guys broadcast every night. So, but she's very curious on seeing the study. Oh, okay, great.
And it's not, how do you find it? You say far right, or it's terms. Yeah. They use the term far right 162 times, far left 6 times. That's a 96-4% skew. You're also aware that you covered the GOP and Democratic National Conventions in 2024?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Interestingly, 72% of the coverage of the GOP convention was negative, 88% of the Democratic convention was positive. Shouldn't be surprising when you have anchors like Amna Nawat, who described the Republican rhetoric as, quote, outright racism, and, quote, echoing white supremacy. Ms. Mayor, NPR, you believe your reporters are fair? You said they're fair and they're working at it.
I believe that they work to be every day, sir.
They're non-biased.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, huh? Yep. And I'm going to grow wings and fly out of my office this morning after the show's done. Right? She believes her reporters act in a non-biased and fair media. I mean, give me a freaking break. This is NPR we're talking about. The ridiculous headlines that they have run as of late. They work every day. Oh, I'm sure they do. They're working real hard every day to make sure that they are shooting a straight shot right down the middle. Definitely not skewing towards one political party or the other. I'm sure that's not the case at all.
Ms. Mayor, NPR, you believe your reporters are fair? You said they're fair and they're working at it.
I believe that they work to be every day, sir.
They're non-biased. And yet, you have the voter registration issue. I mean, we're all human beings. We're all going to see through the world through a certain lens. And are you aware of any Republicans, any registered Republicans in your newsroom?
I couldn't say registered, but I know we have conservatives in our newsroom, yes.
Okay, so the recent registration, when it was looked at, 87 Democrats and zero Republicans registered.
I found that very concerning.
Yeah,
sir.
I would. Not even 40 to 30 or 50 to 20, 87 to zero. But it shouldn't be surprising when their own CEO says things like, I'm so done with late stage capitalism, or calls the president of the United States a deranged racist sociopath, or that America's addicted to white supremacy. So billions have gone into both of your coffers over the last several decades. And I understand why Democrats on this committee are going to viciously and vehemently defend you all, because you become a propaganda wing of the Democratic Party. 67% of your viewers and listeners identify as Democrat, with only 12% conservative, and you become a sandbox for leftist propagandists to frolic on taxpayer dime and no more. And when you said in the beginning you're going to promote a symphony of ideological viewpoints, yeah you do. If you're left-leaning, left, far left,
the gentleman's
or remarkably Marxist, I yield back.
Wow. Solid coverage there from Representative Fallon. His final couple of words there are pretty spot on. PBS and NPR are nothing more than a propaganda wing, a propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. And it's not just them. I mean, you look at NBC, CBS, and ABC, the three big networks. It's the same thing there. The only difference is NBC, CBS, and ABC don't get $150 million a year from the federal government. They're not receiving 17% of their revenue from the feds, from the taxpayers. But NPR and PBS are. 8% on average goes to NPR. 17% of PBS's bottom line is the federal government's money. And with all of those stats, 87 registered Democrats, zero registered Republicans in the NPR newsroom in Washington, D.C. But I'm supposed to believe that their reporters are acting in a fair an unbiased manner? What am I, stupid? I mean, you don't have to be a statistician or a political science major to understand how that plays out. When you've got these individuals that are very heavily skewed towards one side of the political aisle, no shock, no surprise that the end result is very far left coverage. We then turn our attention to Representative Gill, who continued with the back and forth with the heads of these organizations and called them out on some of their own postings on social media. This is pretty eye-opening as well. Take a listen to this.
As expressed by your public statements, as deeply infused with economic and cultural Marxism, do you believe that America is addicted to white supremacy?
I believe that I tweeted that, and as I've said earlier, I believe much of my thinking has evolved over the last half decade.
It has evolved.
Your thinking has evolved? You were of the impression that America was systematically this or that, but it's evolved? Hold on a second. We got to roll this back to the start. Your thinking has evolved. That's a pretty far left stance to hold, that it evolved rapidly.
It's interesting because a lot of your thinking, as expressed by your public statement is deeply infused with economic and cultural Marxism. Do you believe that America is addicted to white supremacy?
I believe that I tweeted that, and as I've said earlier, I believe much of my thinking has evolved over the last half decade.
It has evolved. Why did you tweet that?
I don't recall the exact context, sir, so I wouldn't be able to say.
Okay. Do you believe that America believes in black plunder and white democracy?
I don't believe that, sir.
You tweeted that in reference to a book you were reading at the time, apparently, The Case for Reparations.
I don't think I've ever read that book, sir.
You tweeted about it. You said you took a day off to fully read The Case for Reparations. You put that on Twitter in January of 2020.
Apologies, I don't recall that I did.
Okay.
I'd no doubt that your tweet there is correct, but I don't recall that.
Okay. Do you believe that white people inherently feel superior to other races?
I do not.
You don't? You tweeted something to that effect. You said, I grew up feeling superior. Ha, how white of me. Why did you tweet that?
I think I was probably reflecting on what it was to grow up in an environment where I had lots of advantages.
It sounds like you're saying that white people feel superior.
I don't believe that anybody feels that way, sir. I was just reflecting on my own experiences.
Do you think that white people should pay reparations?
I've never said that, sir.
Yes, you did. You said it in January of 2020. You tweeted, yes, the North, yes, all of us, yes, America, yes, our original collective sin and unpaid debt, yes, reparations, yes, on this day.
I don't believe that was a reference to fiscal reparations, sir.
What kind of reparations was it a reference to?
I think it was just a reference to the idea that we all owe much to the people who came before us.
These people are freaking crazy. I mean, this lady is nuts. She's leading NPR, National Panhandler Radio. She is leading it, tweeting out this kind of far-left progressive nonsense. I mean, it doesn't get any more clear than this. Where does this person fall on the political spectrum? As far left as possibly could be. Props to Representative Gill for raking her over the coals on this. More from him.
That's a bizarre way to frame what you tweeted. Okay, how much reparations have you personally paid?
Sir, I don't believe that I've ever paid reparations.
Okay, just for everybody else.
I'm not asking anyone to pay
reparations.
Seems
to be what you're suggesting. Do you believe that looting is morally wrong?
I believe that looting is illegal, and I refer to it as counterproductive. I think it should be prosecuted.
Do you believe it's morally wrong, though?
Of course.
Of course. Then why did you refer to it as counterproductive? It's a very different way to describe it.
It is both morally wrong and counterproductive, as well as being
illegal.
You
tweeted, it's hard to be mad about protests in reference to the BLM protests, not prioritizing the private property of a system of oppression. You didn't condemn the looting. You said that it was counterproductive. NPR also promoted a book called In Defense of Looting. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars?
I'm unfamiliar with that book, sir, and I don't believe that was at my time at
NPR. You tweeted that you read that book, but...
I don't believe that I did read that book, sir.
Do you think that a few years ago, NPR educated America about, quote, the whole community of genderqueer dinosaur enthusiasts. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of tax dollars?
I was not at NPR at the time, sir.
That's not the question, though. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of our tax dollars?
I think our tax dollars that we use are to be able to provide a wide range of perspectives.
I'll take that as a yes. You do believe that that's appropriate. Your health advisor at NPR also stated in an interview that, quote, fear of fatness is more harmful than actual fat. Would you like to explain how fear of fatness is more harmful than actual fat? That's an editorial at NPR.
I am not familiar with the editorial, and I don't believe that was published during my time here.
It's called Diet Culture is Everywhere. Here's how to fight it. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars?
I think any reporting on health is an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars, yes.
And you think that editorializing that fat is not unhealthy is appropriate?
I don't know what that article is, sir, and I'm not familiar with it, so I couldn't say.
This is fake news. Do you think that basic accommodations like doorways or seatbelts represent, quote, latent fat phobia?
I don't have an opinion.
It's also from NPR. Do you think civility is racist?
No, sir.
No. Well, your outlet ran an article entitled, quote, when civility is used as a cudgel against people of color. That was on All Things Considered. Would you like to explain?
I what, I'm not on the editorial side, sir. I'm not familiar with that story.
You talk about how NPR is news. This is editorialization, and I'll read it. For many people of color in the United States, civility isn't so much social lubricant as it is a vehicle for containing them, preventing social mobility, and preserving the status quo. This is garbage. I'll spend all of my time doing everything I can to ensure you guys never get another dollar of taxpayer funding. This is complete garbage. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Wow. I mean, and the examples just go on and on. And this is not stuff that you're pulling back from NPR from the 90s. You're not having to cherry pick, you know, a story every 15 years to pull. This is recent publications from NPR. This is the way in which they operate. I don't have an issue, and I think I stated this yesterday, but I'll clarify it again. I don't have an issue with NPR existing. I don't have an issue with PBS existing. I think they should exist. I think they're an important part of the media ecosystem. What I have a problem with is that I, as a taxpayer, am funding this kind of nonsense and garbage out of these publications. There is zero reason why me or you as a taxpayer should be funding this kind of coverage. If readers want this, have them support it. Go out and raise more money. Get more corporate sponsors. But there's no reason that U.S. taxpayers should be on the hook for this kind of ridiculous nonsense that flows out of the newsrooms of PBS and NPR. And then our final story, our final clip from yesterday's NPR and PBS hearing, Jasmine Crockett. She had some thoughts on what's going on as the evil Republicans try and, as she claims, shut down NPR and PBS, which I have not heard anybody say that at all. You just heard from Congressman Gill. His attempt is not to shut down NPR or PBS. It's just to make sure they're not receiving any more taxpayer dollars. Take a listen to this.
Country. They don't care about public safety. They don't care about emergency management, and they don't care about free speech, all of which are harming American people. In fact, I'm going to skip off real quick because they have tried to come for you, Ms. Mayor, and I just want to clarify, you did not work for NPR when those statements were made, did you?
That is correct, Madam
And to
Chair.
Be clear, free speech is not about whatever it is that y'all want somebody to say. And the idea that you want to shut down everybody that is not Fox News is bullshit. We need to stop playing because that's what y'all are doing in here. You don't want to hear the opinions of anybody else. And the Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting or establishing of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the
free gentlewoman's time has expired. The gentlewoman's time has expired.
Well, Jasmine Crockett is an idiot. I mean, that's clear and obvious, right? There's no concern there. Her gaslighting, her projection on what Republicans want to do with NPR, PBS is typical from the left. Nobody is saying shut down NPR. Nobody is saying shut down PBS. But I don't want my money funding this kind of nonsense. Now, she says that it's bullshit that they're trying to shut down everything that isn't Fox News. Go out and raise the money yourself. I have no issue with these two outlets existing. I'm just sick of paying for it. I'm sick of being on the hook for this kind of ridiculous far-left propaganda coming out of these media outlets. These are supposed to be NPR. It's built into the name, National Public Radio. It's not National Public Radio. It's far-left progressive ideological radio. That's what they are. And it's the same thing with PBS, the public broadcasting system, where we skewer Republicans and carry water for the Democrats. That's what they do. That's what both of these outlets, that's what both of these individuals do. They are in the business of carrying water for their political likelies, the Democrats. And when things are objected to that, when the Republicans do things or bring things up, well, then it's a threat to democracy. It's a threat to this. It's a threat to that. NPR and PBS, I hope, continue to exist. There is no reason, there is no rationale for taxpayers to spend another penny funding these far-left progressive organizations. I hope Congress finally moves forward with this and actually strips the funding from NPR and PBS. The times have changed, the media landscape has changed, it is not the 1960s anymore. things have changed dramatically. If people want to read, people want to watch, people want to listen, let them support it. That's how our media ecosystem, that's how our media landscape works. That's how Fox News exists. They don't receive taxpayer dollars. Fox News makes money from selling advertising. They are the number one cable news outlet in the country. Why? Because a lot of people watch them, and because of that, they're able to make a crap ton of money selling ads. It's the same way with traditional radio stations and traditional TV stations. You are at the will of the advertiser. If you don't have any viewers, you don't have any advertisers, you don't have any money, you go out of business. It is time for NPR and PBS to play by the same rules as everybody else in the media. There is no difference whatsoever. It is not a public service. They are not making people more safe. This has got nothing to do with emergency alerts. This is typical projection and gaslighting from the left. Go out and raise the money yourself. I'm sick and I'm done paying for it. Plain and simple. That's it. If you guys love these outlets, then go support it. I don't care. I don't give a damn. But I'm done paying for it. I'm done supporting this with my taxpayer dollars. Well, which, by the way, I don't have a choice. We're approaching tax deadline. I don't have a choice whether I pay for PBS and NPR. I don't get a choice as to what they cover. They act in the liberal progressive manner that they do, and I don't have a say. But I have to pay for it. No thanks. It's done. You guys had an opportunity. You guys have had positions or had opportunity to roll this stuff back, to attempt to prove that you're some sort of middle-of-the-road media outlet, and you've completely botched it. Actions have consequences. And the actions of NPR, the actions of PBS, well, the consequence is you're under scrutiny, and you're likely going to lose your federal funding, and I think you should. You have not attempted to be fair. You have not attempted to be unbiased. You have not attempted to provide news and information to the American people. You have attempted to continue to move the ball down the field for Democrats. It is blatantly obvious based on their coverage. We've seen it dozens of times. The ridiculous attempts to not cover stories, to redirect stories. It's absurd. The sham, the gig, it's up. You guys had the opportunity. You screwed the pooch. Not my problem. Actions have consequences. Well, that's going to do it for a Thursday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Looking forward to chatting with everybody tonight on our Zoom hangout. You can get details on that over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. We are back with you tomorrow morning live, 7 a.m. on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great Thursday.